This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. This week on Case Closed, our hour of crime stories begins with Dragnet. We'll hear The Big Informant, their story from March 22, 1953. After that, it's Rocky Jordan and The Man with No Name, his story from October 9, 1949.
Sound off for Chesterfield. Chesterfield is best for you. First cigarette with premium quality in both regular and king size. Chesterfield brings you Dragnet.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to burglary detail. For the past 2 months, a gang of safe burglars have been operating in your city. In that time, they've hit a dozen places. You've got no lead to their identity. Your job? Get them. Here's a report never before made about a cigarette, smoked day after day by a group of people smoking from 10 to 40 cigarettes a day for a full year. Here's Chesterfield's record. A medical specialist, giving this group thorough examinations every 2 months for a full year, reports no adverse effects to their nose, throat, and sinuses from smoking Chesterfields. Don't you want to try a cigarette with a record like that? You'll find Chesterfields best for you. They're much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste. And for your pocketbook, Chesterfield is America's best cigarette buy.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Tuesday, August 10th. It was warm in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of burglary detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Captain Wisdom. My name's Friday. We were on the way back from lunch, and it was 1:17 p.m. when we got to room 45. Burglary.
Joey, you got any stomach pills?
No, I haven't. You got trouble again?
Yeah. I don't know why I always do when we have lunch at Sal's. Must be that cheesecake, Joe. It happens every time.
Well, maybe if you just stick to one piece, huh?
Yeah, the way Rosie makes it, she can't stop there. You know, that Sal could make a fortune if he'd realize it.
What do you mean?
Well, you know how in some places they have a little bowl of mints by the cash register?
Yeah.
Well, if Sal would put a bowl of stomach pills, he could clean up.
Yeah, sure.
Anything in the book?
I'll take a look.
How about it?
Yeah. There's a call here from Ernie.
Our informant?
Yeah. Says he wants to see us this afternoon.
Say what it's about?
No, it just says to meet him at that coffee place over on 7th.
Sure hope he can come up with something we could use it.
Yeah. Been taking a lot on this one, haven't we?
Yeah. The way the papers talk, you'd think we ran with the thieves.
Now, from where they sit, it probably looks that way. We sure haven't been able to stop them.
Yeah. You hear anything more on that last run from the stats office?
Yeah, nothing. They've run the M.O. over and over. We can't make it. I saw the skipper this morning. He's sore, too.
Yeah, it figures they're leaning on him, too.
Well, there's got to be a break somewhere along the line. Their luck can't hold out forever.
Maybe they don't know that.
Did you check the F.I. cards from last night?
Yeah, they're doing it now. They might come up with something. How about rubles and toll? You heard from them yet?
No, they're running down that report from the liquor store owner. Doesn't look like it's going anywhere either.
I'll get it.
All right.
Burglary, Smith. Oh, yeah, did you find anything? Uh-huh. Where was that? Uh-huh. How do you spell that last name? S-O-N? Right. Okay, thanks. We might have something.
Yeah.
Officer made a field interrogation report on an Otto Bronson last night. Time was listed as 10:46 p.m., 4th and Central.
Well, that's close.
The last heist was at 7th and Central at approximately 11 p.m.
Well, how's this Bronson fit in?
Well, they checked him out. He's got a record.
Yeah.
Burglary.
1:35 p.m. Frank and I checked the name Otto Bronson through R&I. We found that he had an arrest record dating back 10 years. He'd been picked up three times on suspicion of violation of Section 459 PC. He'd been convicted once and had served time at San Quentin. He'd been released 4 months before he served his full term and was not on parole. We got his last known address from his ex-convict registration, and we drove out to see him. The address listed was a rooming house on Alexandria Street. We talked to the landlady, but she could tell us nothing about him. She said that he'd moved in about 4 months before, and in that time, she'd seen very little of him. He didn't eat at the house, but he took his meals outside. She was unable to tell us what time Bronson had come home the night before. He was registered in room 2B. Frank and I went up and knocked on the door.
Yeah?
You Otto Bronson?
Yeah, what about it?
Police officers, we'd like to talk to you.
Okay, go ahead.
Might be better if we talked inside, huh?
Well, maybe I don't want any cops in my place.
No, we can talk downtown.
Come on in. All right, what's it all about?
I wonder if you could tell us where you were last night.
Why?
We'd like to know.
Well, let's see, I went downtown, had dinner, met some friends, had a few drinks, and came home.
What time did you get home?
Oh, maybe about 8, around in there.
We got word you were seen downtown at 10:46. How about it?
Maybe my watch stopped.
Were you downtown?
Oh, you guys know all the answers. You tell me.
All right, mister, get your hat.
Why?
Let's go downtown.
All right. So I was there. What's that prove?
Why'd you lie about it?
I didn't lie. I told you. My watch stopped.
Yeah, according to the FI report, you were stopped on the corner of 4th and Central. Is that right?
I don't know. I guess so. Why?
What were you doing there?
I was on my way home.
From where?
Like I told you, I had a couple of drinks with some friends of mine and came right home.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you meet these friends of yours?
Bar down in Central.
Which bar?
I don't know the address. I can show you if you gotta know.
Who were the friends?
Look, I don't like any of this. You guys coming here and asking all these questions? What's it all about?
A liquor store safe was burglarized near 7th and Central last night. You look good for the job.
Boy, it's sure true.
What's that?
Old saying up at the joint. Do a little time and you'll have every cop in the world in your back at one time or another.
How long you lived here, Bronson?
Couple of months.
That's the closet over here.
You stay away from there. There isn't anything in there that matters to you.
Then you shouldn't mind if we take a look.
Now, just keep your hands off of my stuff, huh?
If you haven't done anything, you got nothing to worry about, have you?
It isn't what I've done. It's what you guys are going to say I did.
How about this, Bronson?
That's mine. Hey, now, look, you got no right to go...
See what's in it, Frank.
Yeah.
Now, how about this, Bronson?
I never saw those before in my life. It's a frame you guys are trying to tie onto me. Well, it won't work, cops, and you know it won't.
How do you explain these to
him? I don't have to. They belong to a friend. He asked me to take care of them.
How about this, Bronson?
Can't see, Joe. What is it?
Cutting torch. Looks like it's been used lately. 2:15 p.m. We searched the suspect's room. We found nothing further that would tie him in with the burglaries. We talked to the other people in the boarding house, but they couldn't give us any further information. They were unable to tell us if Bronson had any friends, and the landlady told us that he hadn't gotten any mail since he'd been there. We called the office and arranged for a stakeout on the boarding house, and then we took the suspect downtown to the city hall. We talked to him for an hour, 4:16 p.m.
That's where you stand on this thing, Bronson. Now you make up your mind. You want to take the beef by yourself, you're going to tell us where you got the tools.
I've been telling you. I didn't know anything about the tools. I got them from a friend. He asked me to keep the suitcase for him as a favor. He asked me to keep them for him, and that's all I know.
Well, what's the friend's name?
Like I told you, it's a fellow named Shorty.
What's his last name?
I don't know. If I knew, I'd tell you. I got no reason to hold back on it. I didn't have nothing to do with the jobs.
Otto, we were talking to you about one burglary. What do you mean by jobs?
Well, just the way you guys talk, I figured there was more than one.
You know what we're talking about.
I don't. I'm telling you the truth. I don't.
When'd you last see this Shorty?
When he gave me the suitcase.
When was that?
A week, maybe 10 days ago.
Where'd you see him?
In a bar down on 7th.
And he just gave you the suitcase, asked you to take care of it for him? Is that what you expect us to believe?
That's the truth.
Well, that's kind of hard to buy.
I can't help that. That's the way it happened.
Well, your friend sure left you in a good fix, didn't he?
What do you mean?
Well, it looks like you're going to have to go this route by yourself.
How do you figure that?
You got the tools, you got a record. You were in the vicinity just before the safe was burned. You look real good for it.
Well, I ain't going to take it alone.
Well, you haven't got much choice.
Well, what happens if I help you get the rest of them?
It'll be marked down that way.
Is that all you can do?
That's all.
How much if I help you break the gang?
That's all we can do.
Well, one thing you got to understand.
What's that?
I had nothing to do with the jobs myself. I just heard a few rumbles. You got to know I wasn't in on it.
What have you heard?
Well, there's three guys. They're from the east. They've been working out here about 6 weeks. Real heavy fellas.
Who are they?
I don't know him. The only one I ever saw was Shorty, and I'm not too sure he's in on it.
You know where we can pick him up?
No, like I said, I just heard a few rumbles.
All right, how about this Shorty? Has he got a record?
I don't know. He might have.
He ever say anything about doing time?
No, not so I could hear.
How long you known him?
About 3 months. I met him right after I got out of Q.
Where'd you meet him?
A bar downtown. We got to talking one night, and after that, I'd see him around here and there. And I never got to know him real well.
Just well enough for him to give you a suitcase full of burglar tools, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
And you didn't know what was in the case,
huh? No, I didn't look. I didn't figure it was any of my business.
That's easy to buy, isn't it?
I can't help it. That's the way it is.
How much do you know about how the gang works?
Not much. Rumble is that they case a place for a couple of days, figure out when's the best time to hit it, and they walk in and burn the safe.
They use a car?
I don't know. I guess they do.
Does Shorty have a car?
I don't know. I never saw him with one. He never mentioned it.
You ever mentioned where he lived?
No, not to me. I figure it's over on the east side, huh?
How you figure that?
Well, just the way he talked. Nothing definite, but just the idea.
You look at some mugs and tell us if you see this Shorty?
Well, sure. I'd like to see you get him, leaving me to stand for a thing like this all by myself.
Anything else you can tell us about the gang?
No, that's about it.
Okay, let's look at the mugs.
Well, how about it? I still got to go to jail?
Well, you still haven't convinced us you're clean.
Well, I told you everything I know.
Yeah, let's go.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Look, I go nuts in a cell.
You should have thought of that before.
Well, I can give you guys a lot of help if I'm on the outside.
You haven't given us much here.
Well, maybe I can.
All right, go ahead.
I can tell you when you're going to pull the next job.
We continued to talk to Otto Bronson. He told us that he'd heard the gang was planning to rob the safe of a large chain grocery store in the southern part of the city. He gave us the date and the time that the operation was expected to take place, but he was unable to give us the exact details of how the burglary would be committed. The suspect couldn't tell us whether a car would be used or how the store would be approached. He was unable to give us a description of the other two men in the operation, but he did give us a description of Shorty. We ran the name through the moniker file in R&I. We got back 285 possibles and had the mug shots on the suspects pulled. These were shown to Bronson, but he failed to make an identification. We showed him our mug files on known burglary suspects, but he again failed to come up with an identification. The burglary tools were booked as evidence, and then Frank and I talked with Captain Wisdom. It was agreed that it might be better to release Bronson and have him followed. 8:31 p.m. The suspect was released and placed under constant surveillance. The date Bronson had given us for the next burglary was the following Saturday, August 14th. Frank and I made arrangements to place a stakeout on the store. We checked the store and found that there were two entrances, one off the parking lot to one side of the building and one on the street. We took up our position so that both doors could be seen. The area was placed under a Code 5 call so that the stakeout would not be burned. Frank and I waited. 10 p.m., 11, no sign of the burglars. Midnight came and went. At 5:30 a.m., the stakeout was called off and Frank got to a phone.
Yeah. When was that? Yeah? Okay, we'll be right in. Joe?
Yeah, anything?
Yeah, they lost the tail on Bronson.
At approximately 10:30 Saturday night, Otto Bronson had gone into a theater on South Spring Street. The officer following had entered, but had lost the suspect in the darkness. The next morning, Sunday, August 15th, we got a report that Bronson had turned up at his rooming house at 7:45 a.m. I got a call from the business office with this information, and at 8:20, I picked up Frank, and we drove over to see Bronson.
Who's there?
It's Friday.
Oh, just a minute.
Hi. Come on in. Well, you guys are up early this morning. How'd it turn out last night?
What are you trying to pull, Bronson?
What do you mean?
You know what we're talking about. Nothing happened last night.
Hey, you mean they didn't break into the place?
That's it.
I can't understand that. From what I heard, they had it all cased.
Where were you last night?
Well, you figure I had something to do with it, huh?
We just asked you where you were.
Oh, what's the matter? Hey, the tail you had on me get lost?
We're waiting for an answer, Bronson.
Well, I went to a movie and then came on home.
You came right home after the picture, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Right home.
How come it took you so long?
Now, what's that mean?
You didn't get home until this morning, did you?
You guys are pretty thorough, aren't you?
Where were you?
All right, I stopped and saw a friend. We got to drinking, forgot all about time. That makes me a pigeon for you.
Come on, Bronson, let's go downtown.
What for? I haven't done anything.
You gave us wrong information about last night.
Well, that's not my fault. I'm not running with the guys. I told you what I heard. Now, it's not my beef that it didn't work out. From what I knew, that was the way it was going to be.
All right, let's go.
Well, now, just a minute. Look, we can work this out, huh?
I'm afraid not.
Well, I leveled with you guys. I'm not giving you a snow job. That's the way it is. Now, look, you got nothing on me. If you had, you wouldn't have let me go before. Now that I think about it, I don't like the idea of a tail on me. What are you guys going to prove with that? The way you act, it's no wonder you get no cooperation from anybody. It's no wonder at all.
All right, now you've made your point. Let's go downtown.
Yeah, who is it?
Mr. Bronson, it's me, Kelly.
It's the landlord. Yeah, what is it?
Is Mr. Friday here?
Yeah, I'm Friday.
Won't call for you. You can get it here in the hall.
Thanks.
You can get it here.
Thank you. This Friday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When? Right. We'll be right there. Thanks a lot. Frank?
Yeah?
It's the business office. We gotta leave.
Yeah?
You called it, Bronson. They worked last night, all right?
See, I told you.
Yeah, we staked out in South L.A.
So?
They hit in West L.A.
You are listening to Dragnet, the authentic story of your police force in action.
Chesterfield is best for you. Chesterfield regular or Chesterfield king size, which contains tobaccos of better quality and higher price than any other king-size cigarette. And always remember this. Chesterfield is first to give you premium quality in both regular and king-size. Just as Chesterfield has been first to name its ingredients, the ingredients that make the best possible smoke. Enjoy your smoking. Change to Chesterfield. Much milder with an extraordinarily good taste. The best for you.
A.M. Frank and I contacted the West Los Angeles detectives and drove out to the scene of the latest burglary. It was a large chain grocery store. The thieves had burned into the safe, and the M.O. was the same as in the other burglaries. All the contents of the safe worth anything had been removed. The crews from the crime lab and Leighton Prince had already finished their investigation and had gone back to go over their findings. Frank and I talked to the manager of the store, Mr. Charles Gleason.
Well, let me see, Sergeant. The first I knew about it was when they called me to say that the safe had been robbed.
Mm-hmm. Any idea how much was taken?
Well, I'd just be guessing. With the officers working around here, I didn't get a chance to check it yet, but I'd say about $5,000 or $6,000. The weekend and all, we'd done a pretty good business, and I didn't get a chance to get to the bank. I had all that money in the safe. Of course, I'll have to check the books to tell you exactly how much they took, but like I said, it was probably $5,000 or $6,000.
Do you have a burglar alarm system in the store, Mr. Gleason?
I beg your pardon?
I said, do you have a burglar alarm system in the store?
Yes, and that's a funny thing. I can't understand why it didn't work. The officers who were here from your crime lab, is that it?
Yeah, that's right, sir.
Well, they said that evidently it had been turned off somehow. I don't understand it, but that's what they said.
I see. I wonder if you could give us a list of your employees.
Well, yes, certainly, but you don't think that any of them had anything to do with this, do you?
Well, they've all got to be checked out, sir. Can you give us the list?
Oh, well, yes, I can. I guess that's right, but I'm sure that none of them were involved.
Well, Mr. Gleason, have you noticed anyone hanging around the store? Anyone that might have looked suspicious to you that you can remember?
It'd be awfully hard to say. We do a lot of business with all the people who come in and out. It's kind of hard to say.
Yes, sir, we understand. But could you remember, was there anyone who attracted your attention? Maybe someone unusual, somebody loitering in the neighborhood, maybe around the store?
No, sir, not that I can think of.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything that was taken from the safe that might give us a lead, something that might not ordinarily be in there, something that you could identify easily?
No, I don't think so, just the money. Of course, there were several checks.
Well,
you know,
that,
once...
What did you say?
Checks that we cashed for the customers, they might have totaled $500. I can give you a list of them. We have them photographed if you want copies of them.
Yes, sir, that'd be a big help.
Oh, officer, there was one more thing.
Yes, sir, what was that?
Well, you know how people lose things.
Yes, sir.
A couple of days ago, we found a watch. It looked expensive. We found it in the back of the store. That was in the safe, too. Everything's gone. Must have taken that, too. It isn't there now.
Well, can you give us a description of the watch?
Yes, I can. I noticed it because, well, to be honest, I was kind of hoping that nobody would claim it. You keep things like that around here for a couple of days and then turn them in to you. I'd like to have had that one myself. Certina, it was a gold case with a white face. Only hit a few numbers. You know, some of the spots were just the little gold spots.
Yeah, yes, I mean, sir. The spots were...
The numbers, oh, the numbers, the little gold spots.
I know what you mean, sir.
Well, this one had a gold band, and it was one that was a kind of a chain thing, not an expansion band. You know, the chain, the gold chain?
Yes, yeah, sir. Would you know the watch if you saw it again?
Oh, sure. I looked at it enough, and then there was that scratch on the crystal, too.
Sir?
Well, right over the number, too, there was a scratch. I can show you right here on my watch. You see right there, a little scratch?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of went off at an angle. It was real easy to spot.
Yes, sir, I understand.
You know, it's a funny thing, you officers being here. There's a friend of mine once, well, I just assume not mention his name if you don't mind, because he was innocent, you know, but it looked bad. I was kind of worried about it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And these officers came out to his house, just took the place apart. It was all right. It was perfectly legal. They had a search warrant.
What'd they come out for?
Well, they thought he was mixed up in a robbery.
Oh.
I don't know how they ever thought it, but it looked suspicious, I guess. He was seen with some characters that were, well, you know, not very nice. And they came out to his house, took the whole place apart. You never saw such a mess in your life. Ripped up the mattresses, took down a ruined the picture. A beautiful picture. End of the trail. You know the one with the Indian?
Yes, sir.
The spear going down like that?
Yes, sir.
Took that apart. The whole picture just fell apart. They never could get it back together again. I don't know whether they can get another one or not.
Mm-hmm.
The darndest mess you ever saw, huh?
I say, did they find anything? The money?
Yeah, they did. They found a fountain pen his wife had lost 2 years ago. Had her initials on it.
Yes, sir. Well, is there anything else you can think of that would help us here?
No, not that I can figure.
Well, if you do remember anything, sir, here's our card. We'd certainly appreciate a call.
Frank Smith, just ask for you, huh?
Yes, sir, and if we're not there, just leave a message and we'll get in touch with you.
All right, I'll do that.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Gleason.
You bet. I sure hope you catch the fellas that are doing that.
Yes, sir, so do we.
Yes, you've been after him quite a while now, huh?
Yes, sir, we have.
What the papers say, this makes number 13 for him. Bad number 13, kind of unlucky.
No worse than number one. Frank and I went back to the city hall and completed our crime report. We contacted the crime lab and Leighton Prince and found that they'd come up with no physical evidence at the scene. From the M.O., it could be definitely established that they were the same suspects we were after. We obtained a list of the employees of the store and checked them out. We came up with no new leads. A list of the checks that had been taken from the safe were given to forgery detail. Frank and I went to Otto Bronson's rooming house and brought him down to the city hall for questioning.
You know, maybe if you guys had spent a little more time doing your job and less time bothering me, you'd end up catching those fellas.
Don't worry about it, Bronson. We'll get them. We'd like to go over what you did last night again.
I told you once.
Well, tell us again, will you?
All right. Like I said, I had dinner around 8, maybe 8:30.
Where'd you eat?
A place over on Spring.
See anybody you knew?
No, I don't think I did.
Where'd you go then?
I went to a movie, a place on 7th.
See anybody you knew there?
No.
Well, then you'd have a tough time proving where you were, wouldn't
you? Not all the way. You had a tail on me. Most of this you know already.
All right. What'd you do after you left the movie?
I told you that. I went over to see a friend.
Yeah, where's he live?
A hotel on 5th.
What's his name?
Oh, look, I don't want to see him dragged into this.
If he's clean, he's got nothing to worry about, huh?
Yeah, sure, but you guys go over and talk to him. It's a lot of embarrassment for him, and I just don't want it.
All right, let's go.
Well, now, you going to book me?
That's it.
I told you what being in a cell does to me.
You should have thought about that before.
All right, I'll tell you who he is.
Well, go ahead.
His name's Anderson, Mark Anderson.
You ever fallen?
No, he's clean.
Sure about that?
Yeah. Now, I suppose you want to go over and talk to him, huh?
Yeah, we'll get to it.
You're still going to book me?
We haven't any choice.
Look, I told you what I know, Sergeant. I told you everything. I can't help it if I was wrong. Look, it's no crime to make a mistake, is it? I never read about no law that says you can't make a mistake.
Well, why don't you tell us the truth about what you know about these burglaries,
then? I told you.
What you told us we can't buy.
Well, that's tough, fella, but that's the way it is. Now, I told you what I know. There isn't any more. Now, if you want, go on. Check with Mark Anderson. He'll tell you I was with him all night. He'll tell you I don't want no trouble, you guys. He'll tell you, and that's the truth. Really, I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah, we've heard that before. p.m. We booked Otto Bronson at the main jail on suspicion of burglary. Before he was put in his cell, we got the address of Mark Anderson. After we'd finished with the booking, Frank and I drove over to the hotel on 5th Street. Anderson was registered in room 812. The desk clerk told us that Anderson was in his room. He was unable to tell us much about Anderson because, as he explained, he'd only worked at the hotel for a week and hadn't seen much of him. We went upstairs and knocked at the door.
Yeah?
You Mark Anderson?
That's right. Who are you?
Police officers. I'd like to talk to you.
Sure, come on in.
This is my partner, Frank Smith.
Anderson. What do you want to see me about?
You know a fellow named Bronson, Otto Bronson?
Yeah, sure, I know Otto.
When'd you see him last?
Hey, what's this all about, anyway? Otto done something?
Just a routine investigation, Anderson. When was the last time you saw Bronson?
Routine, huh?
That's right.
I saw him last night.
Where'd you see him?
Here. He came up, sat around, killed a bottle, talked it up.
Mm-hmm. What time did he leave here?
Must have been about 7:30 this morning, something like that.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Sure. Glad to help out whenever I can. Otto isn't in any trouble, is he?
Like we said, it's just routine.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything more I can do to help out, you let me know.
Huh? Yeah, we'll do that.
You're leaving right away?
Yeah, that's right. We'll be getting back to the office.
Well, I'll get my coat and walk down with you. I got a date in 15 minutes. Gonna have to romp.
It's a nice watch you got there.
Yeah, it's new.
Let me take a look at it, will you?
Well, it's just a watch. If you don't mind, I like to get going.
Let me see the watch.
Sure, no reason you can't. Here.
Okay. You said this was new?
Yeah, just got it a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice the scratch on the crystal here?
Hmm. Yeah, I never saw that before. Guess I'll have to take it back and get another one.
Let me see it, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you buy this watch?
Yeah.
Where?
Well, jeweler's down the street.
You get a receipt for it?
No, I didn't. I know the guy. I didn't figure I'd need one.
What if we could take a look through your room?
Why? What are you looking for?
Just like take a look.
You got a search warrant?
No, we can get one if we have to.
Well, then you better go get one. I'm not having any cops looking through my stuff.
Frank?
Yeah.
I told you to get a warrant. You got no right to look in there.
Something in the closet you don't figure we should see.
No, it's not that. It's just...
Well, then there's no problem, is it?
Joe,
yeah.
A couple of suitcases.
You want to bring them out?
Yeah. Here they are. This one's kind of heavy. It feels like there's some sort of tools in it.
Can open it up?
Wait a minute. You got the key for this one, Anderson?
There's nothing in there for you.
We'll figure that, huh?
Joe, looks like this other one's open.
Now, about this, Anderson. Money here and these checks.
Watch, Joe.
All right, Anderson.
All right, come on, get up. Get up.
I'll shake him, Joe. Yeah, he's clean.
Stand still. All right, Anderson, let's go.
Otto told you, didn't he? A lousy little sneak, he told you. I never did trust him. I kept telling him we shouldn't trust him.
Who's Shorty?
Shorty Miller.
Want to tell us where we can find him?
Sure, I got nothing to lose. Lousy little Otto.
Just the three of you on the job?
Yeah, that's all. Otto, Shorty, and me, just the three of us. Him and his big ideas. How he had it all fixed up when you tagged him. How he was going to get us in the clear. Don't worry, he said. He'd take care of everything. Lousy liar. He'd fix it for us. That's real funny.
Shouldn't be.
What?
He fixed it.
The story you have just heard was true. The names were changed to protect the innocent.
On December 14th, trial was held in Department 87, Superior Court of the State of California, in and for the County of Los Angeles. In a moment, the results of that trial.
Now, here is our star, Jack Webb.
Thank you, George Fenneman. I've been pleased to see how many of you king-size smokers have been changing to Chesterfield. It's just as I've been telling you, king-size Chesterfields contain tobaccos of better quality than any other king-size cigarette. Either way you like them, regular or king size, Chesterfields have a better taste, and they're really milder.
Otto N. Bronson, Mark A. Anderson, and Samuel R. Miller were tried and found guilty of 9 counts of burglary with explosives. They received sentence as prescribed by law. Burglary with explosives is punishable by imprisonment in the state penitentiary for a period of not less than 10, nor more than 40 years. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department. Technical advisors, Captain Jack Donahoe, Sergeant Marty Wynn, Sergeant Vance Brasher. Heard tonight were Ben Alexander, Vic Perrin, Stacey Harris. Script by John Robinson. Music by Walter Schumann. Hal Gibney speaking.
For a million laughs, tune in Chesterfield's Martin and Lewis Show, Tuesday on this same NBC station. And sound off for Chesterfield's. Either regular or king size, you'll find premium quality Chesterfield's much milder. Chesterfield is best for you.
Chesterfield has brought you Dragnet, transcribed from Los Angeles.
Ladies and gentlemen, wherever and whenever people need help, the Red Cross answers the call. When a flood-stricken family needs shelter, when a crippled child must learn to walk and play, and when a wounded soldier needs blood,
the Red Cross is always there. And now the Red Cross needs your help. To keep up their many services this year, $93 million is needed. So when the Red Cross volunteer calls on you, please answer the call and give generously. Buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Time now for Rocky Jordan, brought to you by Del Monte Foods, the brand preferred by more women than any other line of canned fruits and vegetables in the world. Not far from the Mosque Sultan Hassan in Cairo stands the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. The Cafe Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men, alive with the babble of many languages. For this is Cairo, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against the backdrop of antiquity. Del Monte presents Rocky Jordan, and this week's story, The Man with No Name.
It was night, around 11 or so. Business was about as slow as a camel in a headwind. Few people were scattered through the tambourine, but none of them was making much of a noise in the register. It was the man on table 6, however, who caught my eye. He'd ordered a bottle of gin and a pitcher of tonic and was doing his own mixing and enjoying what he made. He was a big man, stocky, with a bush of gray hair and a pair of sharp blue eyes. His skin was bronze and tough. I figured he'd spent a lot of time outdoors. When his hand started fumbling through his pockets looking for a match, I stepped up to his table and offered him a light.
Hmm? Oh, thank you.
A second, I'll get you a book of matches.
No, it's not necessary right now. You're the proprietor of this place, aren't you?
That's right. Jordan's the name, Rocky Jordan.
Well, I'm very pleased to meet you, Mr. Jordan. I've enjoyed this hour or so here very much. Won't you join me?
Oh, fine. I'd like to.
Gin and tonic?
No, I'll pass if it's all the same to you.
Certainly. Through the evening, you must get many offers. I like your place, Mr. Jordan. I like it very much. Most of all, I like the fact that you and your help leave the customer alone. This is something that other restaurants and cocktail lounges could well emulate. To leave alone is an attribute lost by our civilization.
Perhaps you'll come back soon.
Perhaps, Mr. Jordan. I plan to leave the continent in a day or so, but I hope one day to come back to Africa. One day soon, Mr. Jordan. Africa has much for me.
Oh, have you been in the interior?
I have. Matter of fact, that's where I've spent most of the last few years. Wonderful years, Mr. Jordan. Primitive land with primitive peoples, but they both meant a great deal to me.
There's a lot of people feel that way, Mr.
Have you ever been on an elephant hunt, Mr. Jordan?
Yes.
Then you know how thrilling an experience it can be. Marvelous. Marvelous beasts, elephant. An exciting time. Mr. Jordan.
Hmm?
You're an American, aren't you?
I am.
American and business in Cairo. Boston was right for you, nor Seattle, or New Orleans, or Chicago. Turned your back on your past and came to Egypt for reasons which are your own concern, of course. Mind you, I'm not prying.
What are you doing?
What am I doing, indeed? Perhaps I'm trying to find a justification for something I once did.
And now look, Mr.
I can't say I'm not a happy man. I am. I am happy. I'm contented. The past few years, I've lived the kind of life I've wanted, and not many people can say that, can they? Well, one last swallow. Thank you, Mr. Jordan. Thank you for a fine evening, for the fine cafe, for the fine gin and tonic, for the comfort you've been to me. Good night. I watched him walk out of the tambourine, pause for a moment in the doorway, then disappear in the dark up the street. Well, people come and people go. You meet all kinds running a cafe in Cairo, as I do. And usually you don't give them a second thought. This time it was different. I started to the register when I heard someone call my name.
Mr. Jordan?
He was a thin man in a light suit and a large brim Panama hat. He was sitting in the shadows at the end of the bar.
Mr. Jordan, could you come here for a moment?
Yeah, sure. Oh, what's on your mind?
My name's Craven, Gerald Craven. That man.
Hmm? What man?
The one you were talking to, the big fellow with the gray hair.
What about him?
His face looks familiar.
Yeah, a lot of faces do.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Well, you talked to him for quite a while. Surely you...
I said I don't know.
All right, don't get sore. Just anxious, that's all. Do you have a phone I could use?
Yeah, at the end of the bar.
Well, don't you have one that's a little more private?
All right. Come on.
Sorry to bother you like this, Mr. Jordan. It's just that it's very important.
Yeah,
to...
sure. Here's my office. Well, there's the phone. Help yourself.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
I'll be out in front.
Hello, operator. I'd like to put a call into New York City in the United States.
New York?
Don't worry, Mr. Jordan. I'll handle the charges. The number is Plaza... just a moment, please, operator. Do you mind, Mr. Jordan? This is a pretty confidential call.
Oh, no, not at all. Make yourself right at home. Just don't forget to stop by and see me on your way out. He didn't forget. He made the call, paid me for it, and left. That, I figured, was to be that. It was, for 4 days. Craven, the phone call, and the gray-haired guy who drank gin and tonic faded from memory till I picked up a copy of the Cairo Mail 4 days later. A small article on an inside page got my interest. It said the police had fished a murdered man out of the Nile. The thing about the article that struck me most was that the police had to say about the way the man died. They said it looked like he'd been shot in the face with an elephant gun. I figured that maybe I ought to run over to the station and tell Captain Sabaya about the things I had in my mind.
Come in, Jordan. Come in.
Oh, thanks, Sam.
Sit down, Jordan. And to what do I owe this unexpected visit?
Just curiosity, Sam. Hand this little item in the paper.
Oh?
And the one in the lower left-hand corner.
Sam. Oh, the man who had been shot in the face with an elephant gun.
Hmm. Who is he, Sam?
We have not been able to identify him.
Seems to be a lot of mystery about it.
Jordan, what do you know of this?
Oh, very little. A man came into my cafe a few days ago, drank a lot of gin and tonic, talked about an elephant hunt, a lot of other things.
Elephant hunt, you say, Jordan? A moment, please. I would like you to look at something. Here it is. Now, study these photographs for a moment, Jordan. They are of the man we took out of the Nile. Is he the one you speak about, the one who was in your cafe?
Whoever shot him didn't leave much face for identification.
Quite purposefully, in my opinion.
Looks about the right size. Clothes are the same. Very tan skin, Sam?
Yes.
Gray hair?
Gray hair.
He's the one, all right. He's the gin and tonic man. Oh, what's this photograph, Sam?
Oh, that is a close-up of the inner portion of his right arm. Observe the tattooing.
Can't miss it.
Now, tattooing, of course, is quite common in the East, but not the tattooing of numbers.
11-24-42.
11-24-42. What does that mean to you?
Nothing.
Jordan, when a foreign national is murdered in Cairo, quite naturally, I am under extreme pressure from my superiors, who in turn are under pressure from the foreign embassy involved, whatever it may be. Now, Jordan, I must apprehend the murderer.
Yes, Sam, I know that.
Now, you will be so good as to relate to me in detail the exact happenings the night this man with no name visited your cafe.
Sure, Sam, be glad to.
And, Jordan, I must insist that you leave out nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, proceed.
Well, I told Sam all I knew about my conversation with the gin and tonic man, about Gerald Craven and his questions concerning that man's identity, and about the telephone call in New York City. Then I went back to the tambourine. I was sitting in my office thinking about the whole affair when suddenly I found myself wanting to know more about that telephone call. A little later, I was talking to one of the girls at the phone company's business office.
Yes, I have the record of a phone call made from your number to New York City.
Well, the call was made by one of my customers, and I'd like to know the charges.
It was person-to-person call to Gloria Hennessy at Plaza 79970, and the charges will be £5 and 35 piastres, including tax.
Okay, thanks. Well, I found out what I wanted, who the call was made to. What I was going to do with the information, I didn't quite know. But right then and there, I had something else to think about. I no sooner had put the phone in the cradle when a big hand grabbed me by the arm.
Mr. Jordan, turn around.
You don't give me much choice.
I'm sorry if I appear to be rough, but we must talk. Look at me.
I did, but I had to look up to see his face. He was 6'6" or more, and he was from someplace in the middle of Africa. But I figured he'd had some education. He had a grim look and a vice-like grip, and I knew he meant business.
My name is Jonah. I'm a Zulu from South Africa. We have something to talk about.
How did you get in here?
4 nights ago, the Bwana came into your place.
Lots of people come into my place.
The Bwana, you remember. He drank gin and tonic.
Last night,
he left the rooming house to come back to your cafe. I never saw him again. The police found him dead in the river.
Let go, I said, you'll get a knee in your stomach.
And you, Mr. Jordan, will have a broken arm. Now listen to me. He knew no people in Cairo. He saw few people here. But someone he saw killed him. And perhaps it was you.
You can stop squeezing. I get your point.
I do not know it was you, but I shall watch you, Jordan. I shall watch you most closely. And if I find out it was you who did the killing...
What then?
Then you shall die most hard. Good evening, Mr. Jordan.
Del Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. All good cooks know it's flavor that counts in satisfying healthy appetites. That's why millions of housewives, particularly those with long cooking experience, depend on Del Monte tomato sauce for added flavor. There's just no better way to brighten plain foods or give added zest to low-cost meals. One Del Monte enthusiast, Mrs. John H. Anderson of Los Angeles, said,
Del Monte tomato sauce has plenty of good, rich tomato flavor. That's why it's been my favorite for over 20 years. It really brings out the flavor of the food you cook with it, and I say that's the test of a good tomato sauce. Another thing, Del Monte tomato sauce is dependable. I use it many ways, vegetable soup, meatloaf, stuffed peppers, meat pies, and so on. Del Monte tomato sauce is always good.
Thank you, Mrs. Anderson. It's a fact. American housewives have bought more cans of Del Monte tomato sauce than any other brand. Flavor is the reason. The flavor that's never been matched. You can depend on Del Monte, the original tomato sauce. Many women buy it by the half dozen or dozen cans. Then they're never without it. And now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's Rocky Jordan story, The Man with No Name.
Well, Jonah, the Zulu, let me keep my arm and left. The next incident didn't happen till some hours later. After the supper rush, I went for a walk in the Cairo night. One, to get some fresh air. Two, to do some thinking about the affair of the man with no name. I was moving down the Sharia Muhammad Ali when a street peddler came up from behind.
Well, highest quality type water for sale at most reasonable prices. The good effendi wishes to purchase from noble water seller some of the same.
No, thanks.
Oh, do not rush off yet, good effendi. Observe the good, clean, clear water. Observe the cool, comforting water.
Look, I'm not thirsty.
Observe same and listen, Jordan Day. Jordan Day, is it not?
It is.
You are wanted.
By whom?
A lady of your kind. Even at this moment at an address in Cairo, an American lady waits for you.
With a candle in the window? What's her name?
Gloria Hennessy, she is called.
Gloria? The address?
742 Sharia El Olkar.
Thanks.
I have done her bidding. Assalamu alaikum. Water for sale.
He slid off into the dark and left me thinking about Gloria Hennessy. 742 Sharia El Olkar, he had said. Well, it was worth a try.
10 minutes later, a cab dropped me off in front of a small hotel just outside the Bab el Nasser gate. Gloria Hennessy's apartment was second floor front. I rapped on the door. A moment later, it came open. I was looking full into the face of a brown-eyed blonde who had got her hair color out of a bottle. She was loaded down with emir, and the clothes she was wearing wouldn't have passed inspection for a Sultan's dancing girl.
I've been waiting for you, Mr. Jordan.
Yeah, you should have let me know sooner.
Come in, please.
Yeah.
This divan will be fine.
Thank you.
Drink?
No, thanks.
Do you mind if I...
No, go right ahead.
I wonder if you know who I am.
My name's Gloria Hennessy. Miss...
What I meant was, I wonder if you know more than my name.
You're from New York. 4 days ago, you received a phone call from Cairo from Gerald Craven. That suitcase in the corner still got the TWA tag on it, so it figures you flew here in a big hurry.
Yes, that's right.
Just to see me?
In a way, yes. A few nights ago, a man came into your cafe. Big, heavy-set, drank gin and tonic.
Yeah, a lot of people are interested in him.
I know.
Even the police.
Yes, I read about that, too. It's a shame. If I'd been able to see him, I wouldn't have had to bother you like this.
Well, so far, it's been no bother.
All I want you to do, Mr. Jordan, is tell me who that man was.
Don't you think you ought to get Craven in here before we take this any further?
What?
The cigarette in the ashtray hasn't got any lipstick on it. You wipe yours off before you smoke.
All right. It's Craven. It's Craven. You may as well come in.
Good evening, Jordan.
Hi.
We thought it'd be better if I spoke to you alone.
I already told Craven I didn't know who that man was.
That was 4 days ago.
And you think I may know now?
Yes.
Why don't you ask the police?
They don't know.
The police figure he was shot in the face on purpose with a big gun so he couldn't be identified. What's so important about that man? Why all the questions about his identity?
Mr. Jordan, I am willing to pay you $1,000 if you tell me who that man was.
It's a lot of dough for the name of a dead man.
I have the money right here in my purse. You can leave with it.
I could make up a name.
You could.
Sorry, lady. I'd be happy to take your money, but I don't know who that man was.
Well, then, I suppose that's that. You were my last hope, Mr. Jordan. I really thought you might know. Suppose I'll have to go back to New York without knowing.
Well, if that's all we've got to talk about, I'll run along now.
Thank you very much for trying to help me.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, Miss Hennessy.
Yes?
There was a tattoo on the dead man's arm. Numbers.
Oh?
11, 24, 42. That mean anything?
I don't know.
Date, maybe. An American would mark a date like that. No. Anyway, Miss Hennessy, that's all the help I can give you.
Thank you, Jordan. Thank you very much.
Oh, one thing more.
Yes?
Why don't you just keep that $1,000 handy? Who knows? Maybe before this thing's over, I'll know the name of that man. I left and walked out into the street. I knew I couldn't catch a cab on the lonely Sharia El Rokar, so I decided to walk back to the tambourine. I had a lot to think about anyway. I wound my way through the dark Cairo streets, up the Sharia Ibrahim Pasha, past the Empire Club and the Victoria Hotel. Then I turned off, making my way down the Sharia El Bin, half street, half alley. That's when it happened. The window pane in front of me shattered, and it didn't take a lot of figuring to realize I was a target. Hit the pavement and scrambled on all fours for the protection of some garbage cans. Well, I waited until it looked like it was over, and I picked myself up. That's when I saw that 6'6" mass of muscle standing at the end of the alley. Jonah the Zulu. I started looking around for a lead pipe.
Mr. Jordan!
What's the matter? Run out of bullets?
You do not have to be afraid of me.
Prove it.
I did not shoot at you. I have been following you, as I said I would, but I did not shoot at you. Look, I have no gun.
You could have thrown it away.
No. This shooting has convinced me that there is more to the Buona's death than I suspected. Perhaps it was not you who killed him.
Well, thanks for the vote of confidence. Who threw those shots at me?
I did not see. Mr. Jordan, let us talk.
You talk. I'll listen. Who is this Buona of yours?
A friend.
He's got a name.
I never knew it. We met 3 years ago in Cape Town. I was going to the university. I've been showing him Africa ever since.
You must know something about him.
Only that he was a good friend.
He had some numbers tattooed on his arm. 11-24-42.
A date he wished to remember.
What?
He never said.
You're a great help. What was he doing in Cairo?
Arranging for air passage on TWA for New York City. He wished to arrive in the United States before some holiday.
What holiday?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving? What day does it come on this year?
I believe he said the 24th.
24th of November. 11-24-49. The tattooing said...
11-24-42.
Yeah, 7 years difference. 7 years.
What does it mean, Mr. Jordan?
I know one thing it could mean. Come on.
Well, where are we going?
Put in a claim for $1,000. And incidentally, find an answer to this mess of a man with no name. Jonah and I took out fast, like the super chief on a downgrade, retracing my steps down the Ibrahim Pasha across to the Shari El Rokar. The hotel I was looking for was easy to find because I'd been there once before. So was the apartment, second floor front. When I rapped on the door, it was opened by the same one who'd opened it for me before. And a moment later, Jonah and I were inside, and Gloria Hennessy was looking at me kind of funny.
Mr. George.
The same. Oh, this is Jonah, a friend of mine, I think.
How do you do?
How do you do? Why did you come back, Mr. Jordan?
Oh, maybe to earn that $1,000. Jonah was a close friend of the man who was killed.
I see. He knows who he was?
No.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
You will.
Please get to the point, Mr. Jordan. Mr. Craven and I are leaving Cairo soon.
I want to ask you one question, Miss Hennessy.
What is it?
That's it.
That's what?
That's the question. Is it Miss Hennessy or... Mrs. Hennessy.
I don't see what that's got to do...
I haven't heard your answer yet.
Maybe I don't think I ought to answer it.
Huh? You don't have to.
Where are you going?
Your purse here on the table.
You leave that alone.
Sure, after I find what I want. Here. Driver's license, this'll do. Mrs. Gloria Hennessy. There's your purse. Well, I guess it was I who made the first mistake. I looked at you and started calling you Miss... Maybe it was wishful thinking.
Oh, don't worry, mister. A guy with your manners hasn't got a chance. All right, so I'm Mrs. Gloria Hennessy. What does that mean?
Well, let's see if we can figure it out.
What's going on? Jordan.
Hi, Craven. Come on in. Just time to see me earn $1,000.
Who's this?
Oh, his name's Jonah. He's not going to like you.
Gerald, he's found out that I'm Mrs. Hennessy and not Miss. He's trying to make something out of it.
Oh, but that's preposterous, isn't
it? Not if the man who's dead was Mr. Hennessy. You supply the first name, Gloria. He was your husband. Well, the way I figure it went something like this. 7 years ago, Hennessy disappeared. I don't know what the circumstances were. You'll have to tell me. Anyway, he spent the next 7 years in Africa, living the kind of life he wanted. But after 7 years, New York says a man is legally dead. All his possessions, and probably quite a bit, go to his wife. Hennessy didn't want that, because I don't suppose he liked you very much, Gloria. He was making it a point to get back to the United States before the 7 years were completely up. Well, that wasn't so hot for you, so you decided to kill him in a way the body couldn't be easily identified. And as far as the law knew, Hennessy'd been dead for 7 years. The riches are all yours.
Jordan, you're a beast.
Please, Gloria. Jordan, that's a very fanciful theory you have.
When I tell Captain Sabaya about it, he'll just lift a few fingerprints off the dead man. Check it with some of Hennessy's papers in New York. That'll tell you how fanciful my theory is. Do you want to call Sabaya? Or shall I? Both Craven and Gloria stood there, neither moving. I was wondering what Craven had in mind, and I found out. He started slowly, as if he was making for the phone, but as he got there, he turned his back toward me, and his hand made a dart for his inside coat pocket. It never got there.
Stop, stop.
Jonah got to him first. He grabbed Craven by the scruff of the neck with one hand and the seat of the pants with the other. Then lifted him high over his head and with all his might threw him against the far wall. Well, as it turned out, when Craven landed, he wasn't even in condition to dial a phone. So it was I who had to put the call in to Captain Sam Sabaya, Cairo Police.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story.
Oh,
What gives Del Monte ketchup such marvelous flavor?
Pineapple vinegar.
Pineapple vinegar? Sounds good. But just what is this pineapple vinegar?
It's a superlative vinegar, crystal clear and sparkling. It's made by Del Monte for its own use. No other ketchup has it.
And that's what gives Del Monte ketchup its wonderful flavor?
Yes, it's one of the things, and a very important one. Ketchup experts say the finer the vinegar, the better the ketchup flavor. It isn't that you taste the vinegar itself. It's the way pineapple vinegar brings out the very best in the other ingredients that is so important. It accents the rich, sunny flavor of Del Monte's plump, vine-ripened tomatoes. And it helps blend the special herbs and spices with the tomatoes to make catsup that just can't be topped for hearty, satisfying flavor.
Del Monte catsup has always been my favorite. Now I know why it adds that appetizing zest to plain foods and everyday dishes.
Friends, if you haven't already tried Del Monte catsup, make a note to get some next time you go shopping. We know you'll like it.
And you'll be surprised at its low price.
For all its goodness, Del Monte catsup costs less than many other quality brands. Back now to Rocky Jordan and the conclusion of tonight's story.
Well, Sam came and I told him what I knew. He hustled Gerald Craven and Gloria Hennessy to the station, told Jonah to go back to his rooming house. He'd talk to him later. He told me to go into his office and wait until he had a chance to talk to Gloria and Craven. And 20 minutes later, he came into the office and roused me out of his squeaky chair.
Hello, Jordan. Jordan.
Hmm?
Please, use the other chair. I do not like you looking through the papers on my desk.
I didn't find much, Sam. Just your weekly quota of a traffic ticket.
Your Occidental brand of humor has always failed to impress me.
Sorry?
Well, Jordan, as they have confessed all, I understand from my conversations with Craven and Mrs. Hennessy that this is approximately what occurred. After Hennessy arrived in Cairo from the interior of Africa, he sent a telegram to his wife in New York advising her of the fact that he was not dead and was returning within the 7-year period.
She must get a big kick out of that.
She did not know whether or not it was a hoax, so she dispatched her lawyer, Gerald Craven, to Cairo to find out. He found out it was no hoax, called her, and etc., etc. Her long conversation with you, of course, was not to determine the identity of the dead man, which she already knew, but to determine whether or not you knew his identity.
And when I said I might find out, Craven took his bullets after me.
Precisely. Well, coffee, Jordan?
No, no thanks, Sam. I'll get back to the tambourine.
Tambourine? What is the hurry?
I want to cross gin and tonic off my menu.
For the finest in tomato flavor, enjoy the whole family of Del Monte tomato products.
Del Monte ketchup and chili sauce.
Del Monte tomato sauce and canned tomatoes.
And Del Monte tomato juice.
Remember, buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Rocky Jordan, written by Larry Roman and Gomer Cool, stars Jack Moyles in the title role with Jay Novello as Sam Sabaya, and is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music composed and conducted by Richard Arant. Remember, you have a date next week at the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. Same time, same station. And the story is Quest for Tranina. Looking for a glamorous dessert that's easy to prepare? Then serve Del Monte Fruit Cocktail. It's ready diced. Its 5 tasty fruits are mixed and carefully balanced for a sparkling flavor treat. Best fruit cocktail you ever tasted. Del Monte, the brand that always puts flavor first. Larry Thor speaking. Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Case Closed for this week. I hope you enjoyed the shows today. You can hear more from Dragnet, Rocky Jordan, Case Closed, and all other types of old-time radio at relicradio.com. You can also find our Shoutcast stream there and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for relicradio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.